Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the February the 8th, 2021 study session of the University City City Council to order. Prior to turning the agenda over to the city manager, are there any changes to the regular meeting agenda tonight? All I would like to say is that in honor of Black History Month, we are going to have Nashawn Bates read his poem that he wrote in December, and he and his mother will be joining us at the beginning of our meeting for him to do his reading, and then we'll move on to the regular business. So any other changes? Hearing none, Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, thank you for giving me the opportunity to present to you tonight. I'd like to start out by introducing, many of you know Amy Gilbertson with Trivers, as well as Amanda Trumper with Trivers as well. And we have our Public Works Director with us, Sinan Applesine. I wanted to do a very brief presentation to discuss the projects that I'm recommending for bond funding with you and to seek your direction, hopefully to move forward and advance those projects. I believe if you could go to the first slide.
All right. My mouse is dying on me here. All right.
Not working.
So Mike, it looks like I'm disabled. Can you enable me to share my screen?
That's okay. While he's working on that, I can just go ahead and move forward with it. Each of you were provided a copy of the presentation that I'm making. The first or the second page of that presentation identifies projects that were, oh, here we go.
Okay. Can you guys see the presentation?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, right, there you go. You could just leave it there, Larry. Thank you. There were several projects that were identified as a part of the NEED study that was conducted by Trivers. And you see them here, ranging from City Hall, the Annex, Trinity, Heman Park, Community Center, Central Garage, and so forth. Many of those projects, I believe, we'll be able to incorporate into our capital improvement program and finance those based upon a pay-as-you-go type of financing. Many of the improvements that were identified for City Hall in particular, while they're important in perhaps some more restructured and may enable us to provide services more easily, they are not what I would consider emergency type of items. So I believe that a pay-as-you-go would be appropriate. There are three projects, however, that I am proposing for bond financing. If you could go to the next slide. The projects include a City Hall at $2 million. $1.5 million would go towards making the improvements that's needed so that the building doesn't continue to decay. Considered water tightening improvements at $1.5 million. The second improvement is the elevator I'm sure most of you have experienced a time when the elevator was out and the challenges that that places on the organization, but also on the community having to walk the stairs. The major project, two of them, one is the police annex restoration at $15.7 million, and the third project is the Trinity Multipurpose Restoration. That's intended to be used for both the court as well as the council chambers at $2.3 million, with a total amount of a proposed bond for $20 million. Read next slide. If it is the approval of the mayor and council, my intention would be to move forward with needed documentation to present to the county so that we could have a bond initiative on the in August of this year. Next slide. And I would be happy to respond to any questions that you might have regarding any of the projects. As you know, I have representatives from Trivers here that will be participating, as well as the Public Works Director, Sina Nobleson. So happy to respond to any questions that you might have.
To my colleagues, I have a shared screen right now. So if you have a question, I would suggest that you take a leadership position and simply ask it, because I can't see you. Now I can. I have a number of questions myself, but I would tend to let mine come towards the latter part. So would anyone have questions of the city manager or our consultants? Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Thank you for the presentation. So if I'm looking at page 6 of the presentation by Stiefel, if I'm lining things up correctly, this August being an odd number year is a 2/3 majority approval?
That's correct.
Okay. And what would we envision as public engagement looking like, given COVID, around the bond issue and helping the public understand what we're attempting to do?
We'll need to, Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, we'll need to put together an information campaign that states very clearly what the cost will be, improvements would look like, for example, and you know, bring that information back to you first of all to get approval for the campaign. But that's something that we would need to work on. In the midst of COVID, much of it would be done very similar to what we're doing currently via social media, as well as using Zoom as much as possible.
Okay.
Other questions?
That's what I have for now. Thank you.
Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. I just, I do have a question and also a statement. But my first question is, what my role in this would be. And the reason I say that is because Stiefel is, and we've talked about this before, so if you could let me know what my role would be, simply because my wife works for Stiefel. If that means that I can vote on this or not vote on this, I'm not sure how that is. Is that a problem or not a problem?
The financing end of it, certainly I'll have our city attorney reach out to you to better understand the role that your wife has with Stiefel. But normally, unless she is in a position of authority where she could potentially influence something, I don't see where you would not be able to vote on the proposed financing of it. But I will defer that, because it's a legal issue, to our city attorney to have a discussion with you to better understand it and provide you with a legal opinion.
Okay, and then can you explain why not August and why not April and or why not November? I'm just asking a question in reference to presenting this as a bond issue for the citizens.
August was the first available date that I thought we could reasonably be able to make. April time period, I believe that we looked into that and we've exceeded the time frame for getting the information to the county. As you can appreciate, there's still paperwork that has to go to the county. Even if we're going to make the August time frame, it has to be to them by May the 25th. So that means that the council will need to take a formal action on the ballot language that then has to go to the county. But the November timeframe, again, I was simply looking at what is the earliest reasonable date that I thought we could finish up all of the due diligence that's needed and present the ballot language to the county.
And you said that there's a deadline for August. We have to have that by May 25th, is that correct?
That's my understanding of it, yes. Everything has to be to the county by May the 25th.
Okay, and then lastly, the last thing I'll say is that, again, I'll just have to present my objection to the proposal, and specifically the flaw in this to me is putting the police back into the annex. And also with segregating a parking lot is to me contrary to what's happening in Civic Plaza. But I just wanted to make that statement, and that's my statement for today.
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, the way I reached my conclusion really was based upon three critical issues. One was from a financial perspective, what was going to be the most cost effective. Certainly, the other was based upon efficiencies as it relates to both being a strategic location, where is our crime being committed, and we could debate. I think that issue, the highest, as you can appreciate, just based upon the number, the highest number of crimes occurs in this area. Maybe some of the more severe crimes occur within the northeast section of the city, but the actual highest number of crimes occur within the close proximity to where we are now. The other more crucial issue as well was from just a management perspective. The police department is one of those, is the only department that has the ability to take a life legally. And so I just firmly believe that there has to be strong oversight of the police department, and that to erode that in some way, which separating it from the city manager that has oversight of that, and from the area, I think that just creates some challenges. The police, as you know, work very closely with the rest of our organization, human resources in particular, but also dealing with the courts. If you recall, the Ferguson report is recommending that they have that separation between police and the court system for several reasons that I won't get into. But I think from those were the issues that came to mind when I was making a decision about what my recommendation would be to the council on this project.
Yes, sir. But, you know, Mr. Rose, one of the things I'm not going to argue strategic, because I don't think that, again, that's a difference of opinions in the location, but efficiency in cost I'm really confused because 15.7 million or 15 million cost to renovate the annex to put the police back into the annex when in fact it cost Creve Corps 8.1 million to put their police and build a new police station. And so if you look at that and just say, for instance, if we were ever given, once again, the inefficiency about this proposal is that we weren't given all of the information. All of the information would have been, what would it have cost to build a new police station? What would the, what other things could happen with the annex? And so, you know, and if you look at the cost, Creve Corps police station, you know, if we had gotten an example of what it would have cost, say for instance, $10 million just to renovate the annex into just offices, because it's not as, it doesn't require as much change to actually make that the police station. But anyway, but the point that I'm trying to make is that say if that had made, it would cost us $10 million, which would have left five. If we still have $4 million in the Prop P money that was set aside for the police station, that's $9 million. So again, what I don't necessarily agree with cost, because $15 million seems like a lot to do this and not actually know what it would have cost to build a new police station and do something different with the annex. So.
Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, I just will share with you, and Amy can participate in this as well. The estimated cost for the construction of the police station was $18.6 million, and that's a new police station. And that was minus the land. So that's just for the construction of a new police station, police/courts. But it did not include the amount of money that would be needed to purchase the property that it would reside on. So the $15.7 million, that's the cost for the renovation of the police station. The additional $2.3 million, which equates to a total of $18 million firm, is the total cost of renovating the annex as well as renovating the Trinity building. So from a financial perspective, what you have is that you have two renovated city buildings that would be populated by departments. If you build a police station, let's say you build a new facility, you still, what are you going to do with the old buildings? So you will still have to spend money in order to eventually, let's say that you're right, let's say it's only $10 million in order to do one of them, but it's still going to be additional funds to renovate the Trinity building in addition to what you spend for the renovation of the annex. So from a financial perspective, I thought it was simply better to spend a total of $18 million, have both of the buildings renovated and have space that could meet the needs for both police, courts, and a council chambers where you did not need to use an elevator to get to the council chambers. So that was the thought process behind the recommendation.
Mr. Rose, I could add just one thing also. So the when we looked at the cost to build a new police station, we used the same program in both comparisons when we compared renovating the annex to building new. And that was our very first project in this effort, the first study that we did. So it's been a couple of years. And I'm bringing that up because, so when we compared it in a study or council session, I can't remember, maybe both, we showed, or you know, the work that we did with our cost estimator showed that the renovation was less expensive. And then we went down a path of, let's be sure that police is the best fit and we don't, you know, it's not a better fit for the other departments. And so that was our second study. However, so the $18 million price tag came along with the first study, and that cost has not been escalated because that wasn't the path we went down. So it was already more expensive a couple of years ago, where the $15 million that you have now, we've continued to update that with each study to current day pricing. So I believe the $18 million cost escalated a couple of years would be a little bit higher, and it did not include the land, as Mr. Rose said. So just to add a little bit more detail.
Well, even going down that path, I mean, we still weren't giving any other options for the annex. That's another problem. I mean, again, that's part of the problem. We weren't given other options. We weren't given the opportunity to present other options and what that would look like and what that could possibly cost. So, you know, that's a big question. That's not answered, so.
The other thing I would say in response to that, I'm not sure whose obligation it is to come up with other ideas for the annex. If in fact we don't have a space needs that says that we have other needs for a public use for it, and we're prohibited from doing almost anything else with this building, I'm not sure what other obligation we have to come up with something else to do with the annex, since it can't really be touched except for public purposes. And I, for one, do not want to spend $10 million just to have more offices in the annex and then build a new police station. But that may be a different route. I'd like to ask a couple of questions. It says that we had total project cost of $29 million and you wanted to bond $20 million. Is the other nine not occurring, or is the other nine coming out of cash flow or a variety thereof, or is it part of the savings that we call those the John Mulligan savings over the years with the cellular settlements and stuff? Is that part of this process, or have we gotten that far?
The remainder of the projects would be included in the capital improvement program on a pay-as-you-go type of scenario. There are some improvements there where they're saying we should create a one-stop shop. I think that would be good, but how important is that right now? I'm not so sure. So those are some of the things that we would evaluate as we develop our capital improvement program and present that information to you each year. But to answer your question, it would be based on cash flow, pay-as-you-go type of structure.
And we don't have anyone from Stiefel on, am I correct?
No, we did not invite them.
And again, at some point in time, I assume that my colleagues are going to want to know what the rates that you have on page four, are those current rates or are those dated?
Those are dated within the past, I want to say 6 months, though. We reached out to Stiefel to get kind of what the par values would be.
And I'm not there where we're necessarily going ahead with this yet, but I will say, you know, for the city itself, when you're AA plus and you've got zero bond debt, I'll quote Byron Price and say there are times when you get debt, and particularly for assets that are going to outlast the length of the bond, that's usually what you tend to look at. I guess I would also, I think Boyne asked this question. I think Stacy started and then Boyne kind of followed up. To me, I'm just wondering whether, if there's nothing else on the ballot, correct me if I'm wrong, we pay for the election. And August versus November, I think that's kind of just a choice we need to be making in the near term as to which, because I'm not sure, unless my colleagues know more than I do, I'm not sure that there's anything coming up this August or this November that otherwise would have a need for an election. Right? Does anyone know anything that I don't know about this? I mean, the reason I say is this may be a single issue ballot item, which, you know, can be pro-con.
The MSD bond proposal, when that will be on the ballot?
I do not have that information, but MSD is presenting to us tonight, so that's something that could certainly inquire.
What other questions do members of council have for Mr. Rose or for Amy or Amanda on this issue? I've only got one, and that is that I would still like to see at some point in time what somebody thinks that the inside of the annex will look like as a police station. I've seen Clayton. I know what Clayton looks like. I went with Wayne and a whole group of us to Creve Coeur to see theirs. And I think we've kind of all got this a little bit of unsurety as to what a new police facility inside an old building would look like. And I think when we're talking about $15 to $18 million, I think we've all got questions. And so I'm just trying to figure out if there's a way to get a schematic or a video or something that could give us some idea as to what this would look like.
Romier, I have inquired with C9. I know that she has reached out to Amy about producing some renderings that would kind of show us what a renovated facility would look like. I don't want to put her on the spot unless she knows the answer about how long it would take her to put that together, as well as the cost. I'm told that they can do it, but we just need to work with her on what the time would be and get a proposal on what the cost would be.
Sure. Yeah, and I think we can work with you on that, depending on which date you, if you move forward with this, which date you choose for your election date, and we can work backward and certainly get you the visual information that you need. That's kind of the next step. So to date, we've been working with a lot of space planning and studying the building and how does it need to be renovated so that we could get the costs right. We do know the facilities that you've toured. HOK was part of this process also, and they're certainly experienced with police facility design. So the cost per square foot numbers and the pricing that's been done on this, the test fits so far, does include those type of precedent finishes and expectations. So we can certainly do that as a next step to get some visual information and kind of work with you on how much you need and when you would like to have it.
If I could follow up though, Amy, my mine is not, to be candid with you, mine is not for the citizens. Mine is for my colleagues.
Yes, and, okay.
Okay, and the only reason I'm gonna say that, I'm gonna push back a little bit is I, as my colleagues know, and a lot of the citizens know, I bought an old house and I'm rehabbing it. And so many of the projects going on, the contractors literally come in and they don't give me schematics on a piece of paper. They give me schematics on a video screen that shows,
right,
here's what it looks like, and here's you walking around the room. And I don't want the whole police station, but I think a lot of us have a question, which is, you know, what does this really look like for us going into what we all know is a 100 and some year old building that's going to have new, it could possibly have new insides. I think a lot of my colleagues' either concerns are going to be heightened or concerns are going to be addressed if they get a chance to see what a new inside looks like video wise, not by drawings, video wise. And it may not be able to be done, but I would think that that may be something that we need to look at. Judging by the conversations I've had with my colleagues.
So Amanda just did that for a client last week. It works great. We can certainly do video walkthroughs of new designs. We haven't had that as part of our scope yet, but there's no reason that we can't do that for you if that's something that you want.
Well, and I don't want to push it through. I just know the conversations that I think everybody's been having, and I think that Gregory has had as well. And my guess is that to all of my colleagues, if that is something you would like to have happen, I would ask that you make outreach to the city manager and let him know so that we then have some pathway forward. Because let's face it, we now have been given a timeline that we know if we went on the August ballot, what time we want. And we know if we want to be on the November ballot, what day we need to have them in. And so that's that time frame has been laid out for us. So we're going to be, unless I'm misunderstanding what the city manager is asking us, is we're probably going to be asked to take a vote on this in the next month or so. And whatever information people are wanting or needing, we need to be getting those requests into him. Mr. Clay, you had your hand up a moment ago. Yes.
I did. If none of my other colleagues have a question, I'll go ahead and take another bite. Well, this had been brought up a while ago and not heard much about it in recent months, frankly, several months. There was talk about a secondary police station early on in these conversations. I did not see it listed in the list of projects. So I'm assuming that that is no more. Is that correct?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, that was not included as a part of the projects recommended from the space need study. I would not, however, say that it's something that's been completely eliminated. I think it's just an issue of priority. If you recall, there was a desire to have a small substation in the northeast section of the city. That dates back to probably 3 years ago. But I believe that the priority at this point is to find the police department a headquarters, a home, because they can't continue to reside in the temporary building into perpetuity.
And I certainly understand the need to get our police out of the trailers. I'll be very candid. I think my challenge with a secondary facility now or in the future is the police in the annex plus a secondary facility, whenever it happens, will equal at minimum or exceed the cost of a new facility, presumably in the northern part of the city. So I realize it's not up for discussion right now, but that would be something that would be challenging for me. I'm certainly always open to conversations, but that would be somewhat challenging for me to get my head around if cost is an issue, which it always will be for us. It is unlikely we will ever hit the lottery as a municipality. While we have some things in the works that will certainly help, we will always have to be judicious with our funds. And so, again, the conversation about two facilities, and likely with the time value of money at a greater cost than a one new one in that area, not so sure about that.
I'm sorry.
Well, I just want to jump in. I think the issue of a police substation is one that we had talked about, but I don't think, and I can't speak for all of my colleagues in this meeting, but we're normally not going to put in a police substation if the council members in that area don't want one put in. And that was kind of the conversation that I think we all had some time ago. So I'm not sure that a substation is something that I am more than willing to talk about, but I think we have two developments coming along that may both have police substations in them. And again, I don't think the substation is on the agenda right now because I'm not sure that it gained the support it needed at that time.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Mayor Crow. I don't think it at this time or any time it would be a good idea. Now, certainly, once I'm off of council at some point, my influence is certainly different and diminished at that point. But I just don't see that second station being an idea that I would embrace, again, because of the cost associated with, to the mayor's point, we've got two developments that potentially have that substation idea associated with it. So, I'm just not seeing it, I guess.
I think Blaine had his hand up. I think Jeff did. So Jeff gets to, Jeff, your bite of the apple.
Thank you, Mayor. So I've got a couple of notes here I've written, but just quickly in response to Councilmember Clay, I do agree with what the mayor said in terms of the process that we went through and the discussions we had that sort of matches my recollection. But I think we never really got very far ever into discussing, you know, what a substation would ever look like and what costs that might have associated with it. But I would sort of, I heard what you said about this would be, you know, if you included a substation, it would be, you know, equal the cost of a brand new facility. I would say that that could be true. But even if it were likely true, it wouldn't address the needs of the buildings and infrastructure that we have now that I think not only need a total renovation, but even without that, I think have immediate needs because of deferred maintenance that I would say came well before we got here. I also agree with the comments from the mayor about providing renderings. I think, you know, a video walkthrough is great. I look at this in terms of, you know, dollars and cents and looking at the number proposed for both the annex and the old library or Trinity building, like this is not paint and new tile in the bathrooms. But I think it's important for many, many other people, certainly our residents, our public safety officers to realize exactly, you know, what does go into this. And so I would just ask from a technical perspective to, if I could, to either Amanda or Amy, I trust that part of this number on the annex or to deal with the numbers on the annex and the Trinity building include effectively all new plumbing, new electric, complete replacement for the most part of all of the interior partition walls, as well as HVAC. Like what effectively would be left after this is finished?
Sure. So when we study it from a historic perspective, we try to keep any priority areas. So that includes the building envelope. There's a potential, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, in the annex, there's a really cool skylight. You know, you can use the historic design to bring back better space by reintroducing that skylight, being able to get daylight into the building that way. But yeah, we're looking at a complete gut rehab, you know, to use the simple term that a lot of people are familiar with. We do look at if our layouts indicate that something can be salvaged and that's more cost effective, like maybe the primary stair or something like that, and we would certainly do that, but not at the cost of providing the police the program and layouts that they need. So Amanda, you've been in the plans a bit more than I have, but I don't think there was much being saved on the interior. I don't know as much about Trinity.
Yeah, it was really just the historic main stair, and we were doing additional egress stairs because that main stair doesn't really meet current egress requirements, but it's an historic essential part of the building. As well with Trinity, keeping that main reading room, that's its kind of big piece, and its original front door, even though we're relocating its entry to the back, there's really not historic stuff. It's areas of old restrooms and kitchens that we're carving into for elevator for accessibility and a new egress stair as well there. But to Amy's point, these are, you know, historically sensitive gut renovations.
Alita, did you have a question? Did I?
I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. You know, a couple of things that have been said. I think that we can't look at our city and the decision that we're making about the police department without considering the historic buildings in the Civic Plaza. And I think if we took those buildings out and tried to make this decision, it would be a completely different decision. But I really don't think that we can separate those buildings from our decision, because, you know, our city voted overwhelmingly in favor of protecting these buildings, which tells me that using these buildings, protecting them, maximizing their benefit is important to the residents of our city. And so, you know, I think that we have to consider those. So even if we're looking at a new facility that's the same cost as renovating, if we put all our money into a new facility, then, you know, and it's the same amount, we still have to do a really good job on those historic buildings, because we know that those are important to the residents of our city, to the character of our city, and to, you know, kind of how we define ourselves. And I also don't want it to be framed in terms of, oh, well, we're just trying to keep everything the way it was, and we're trying to make decisions based on how things have been done. Because I don't think, for me, it's not about that, because I would like to, you know, we're expanding our city, we're expanding our vision. We want to look at all parts of our city. And I think by protecting our you know, our civic plaza and being economical and efficient in the way that we run our government, we can have more resources and more energy to look at that vision, to take care of all parts of our city, and to make sure that we have resources for everybody in all parts of our city. So to me, it's, you know, the decision encompasses all of those factors.
Thank you. Are there other questions of either Mr. Rose or Amy or Amanda? If not, it's my understanding we have another agenda item that, Mr. Rose, can we knock it off in the next 10 minutes?
Yes, this one should be pretty fast. Thank you, Amanda, and
thank you,
Amy.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Take care, everyone.
Honorable Mayor and council members, I received a request. Actually, it was our finance director, Keith Cole, received a request. This was probably at least three to four weeks ago, perhaps even longer than that. A resident had made a request to if we would be willing to waive the fees on a trash bill. They would be willing to pay the principal if the city would waive the fees. So that led to some research conducted about what authority did I as a city manager have to waive any fees on the trash bill. And what I learned through that process is that either I nor the finance director have the ability to waive fees. So what I would like to propose to you, it has to come to the mayor and council for consideration. So what I would like to propose is an amendment to that ordinance that would allow the finance director to waive fees on trash bills with the approval of the city manager. That would result in it not coming to the mayor and council for consideration, but this seems more like an administrative matter. But that's really, Sean, I want to make sure that I captured everything. I think that is it in its essence.
I would clarify that the amendment that has been discussed internally relates to the waiver of penalties and interest as opposed to the
actual charges
for the service.
Yeah.
I can't speak for my colleagues, but my guess is we really don't want to probably be that involved down in the weeds on this one. And in a city manager, council manager form of government, sounds like this may be one that sort of slipped through the cracks over the years.
Yeah, my
go ahead.
Mayor, my intention would be to create guidelines for the potential waiving of those penalties. So the council would be aware of the guidelines that I would be using if I believed waiving was appropriate. But ultimately, I would delegate much of that to the finance director to make some decisions about what he thinks appropriate, and then he would seek my approval on it.
Would anyone like to opine? Mr. Cusick.
Mayor Crow, I would ask for Mr. Mulligan to state again what he just said.
Okay. Sure, be happy to, Councilmember Cusick. So, and I'll elaborate just a bit. The code right now, and I'm looking at section 230.130 that addresses delinquent fees and the city's collection policies. That was amended a number of years ago, and it basically authorizes the city council to waive penalties and interest and establish amnesty programs. Prior to that, the city manager handled that as part of the administrative duties of that office. This amendment was made in connection with an amendment of the entire chapter, and I don't believe the council specifically considered it. So what I understand the city manager to be proposing is to basically restore what the practice had been prior to that amendment, and it would allow the city manager to establish policies for the waiver of penalties and interest, but not the fees, not the charges. Those are set by council in the ordinance on solid waste collection. So again, this proposal only would be for the city manager to establish policies regarding the waiver of penalties and interest.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions, Mr. Hales?
Thank you. Just a quick one. So I appreciate the concept of guidelines. I, in principle, don't have any concerns about this. I'm just wondering, what are the largest outstanding bills in terms of principal and penalties and fees? Like, are we talking thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars? We obviously live in a very large community and have many rental properties and that kind of thing.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember House, I'll defer to our Finance Director, Keith Call. Do you have an estimate?
Mr. Rose, yeah, Councilmember Hales, it's roughly a little over 800,000 that is considered interest and penalties on delinquent accounts.
Thank you, and I didn't mean to put you on the spot. This, I probably should have thought about this, but sometimes things just come to you. I was more thinking in terms of like, how many properties do we have? I mean, do we have property owners that owe, you know, maybe they're rental property owners and they owe, you know, $25,000 or $30,000 associated with either a property or a portfolio of properties, more sort of an individual, like how many and what type of numbers are we talking about? But again, in principle, like I'm okay with what's been suggested.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Hales, instead of trying to respond, we'd need to do some research and to provide that information to you and the rest of the council.
Understandable. Thank you.
Any other questions regarding this topic? Mr. Smotherson.
I do agree that it's it should be administrative, but I'd definitely like to see the guidelines that are set up. And I believe the person that made this request lives in the third ward, and they probably owe about $9,000. So that's my comment. That's it.
Thank you. I see no other hands waving at me to ask to be recognized. So if you folks are okay, we will adjourn for about the next 10 minutes and then pick up the public session. And it is my understanding that we do have an executive session, just so everyone knows. You also were given, I believe, by Ms. Reese, a number of public comments for tonight's meeting, in particular for the public hearing. So with that being said, we will see you folks in 10 minutes.